Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for November the 26th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. I was on the road yesterday for Thanksgiving, not live, but on Wednesday we were indeed live. We're live today, Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. It is Black Friday, they claim. And all I can tell you is, your money will be going out the door if you fall for all the getting and spending lies of the holidays. They want you to believe there's good deals everywhere. It's only partially true. Trust me, if they weren't making a mint of money, they would never have the Black Fridays in the first place. So, yeah, you might get a good deal here and there. But the truth is they're making plenty of money. It's one of the biggest shopping days of the year. Now, I know right after big, you know, massive Black Friday, they say Saturday is the time for small business. I would recommend you support small businesses all the time, 24/7. Anyway, nevertheless, I think that, shopping for the holidays, good idea. Being frugal with your money and wise and careful and conscientious about your gifts, necessary. Black Friday getting and spending, I would reject completely. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you had a delightful Thanksgiving, as I did, full of God, family, and country. It was just absolutely delightful. Now, I know the Native Americans and some are tricked into thinking that Thanksgiving is a day of mourning. We reject that notion as well. Remember, America's had a troubled past in many ways. That's factual. Don't back away from it. Don't pretend it's not true, and don't ignore it. But acknowledge the big picture, that even though there's been some mistakes we've made and some tragedies along the way, America, the land of the free, the home of the brave, the greatest country on the face of the earth, has brought more liberty, more safety, more stability, more prosperity, more liberty to more people in the history of the world than any other country, bar none. Welcome to the broadcast. A quick recap of Wednesday's show. We talked about the jury awarded $26 million in the Charlottesville Unite the Right rally civil case, CBS News. And it's a disaster. Most of those people are so broke, they'll never be able to pay. Understand it was a SLAPP lawsuit. SLAPP means S-L-A-P-P. Strategic lawsuit against public participation. Their goal is to bankrupt these groups. It wasn't about obtaining justice or accountability or honor at all. Big money literally attacked these people. I don't agree with some of these people's beliefs, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? But I will tell you this. I will defend their right to believe as they choose. And that's the problem here, is we want to use these SLAPP lawsuits to truly chill free speech. As President Donald Trump said, there were both troublemakers and good people on both sides of the conflict. He's right about that. We talked about really the real question, in my opinion, that the patriots need to ask, or the right, or whatever group you want to call them. Were federal agents or assets of the federal government present at the Charlottesville Unite the Right rally? And if so, what were they there for, and what did they do while there? Yep. All right. We need to talk about this federal agent FBI quietly dropped January 6th provocateur for the most wanted list. Ray Epps' story can shatter the entire government narrative on this thing. We talked about the Ray Epps story a couple of weeks ago, and boy, howdy, is it a barn burner discussion. We talked about Kyle Rittenhouse backs Black Lives Matter during interview, says it's not about race at all, it's about self-defense. Shame on Kyle for backing Black Lives Matter. Kyle Rittenhouse accuses Joe Biden of malice and defamation. Yeah, Trump suggested the tween was a white supremacist, and the battle's on. When did you ever see a president literally attack an individual citizen, a young man, no less, a minor, when the case occurred or the event occurred? What a tragic situation. Now that Kyle fighting back at President Biden, Donald Trump deciding to meet with Kyle. Why would Donald Trump meet with Kyle in the first place? Very strange stuff. Anyway, we played the Ron Paul report, and we tied the reality of, you know, foreign affairs are a confusing mess. You don't know which sides are the good guys or the bad guys. Same thing starting to happen domestically. You don't even know who's who anymore, do you? That's exactly the way they want it, by the way. We talked about Joe Biden gets popped by a little girl after he leans in and touches her. She freaks and thinks he's a creeper, and she smacks him. And he deserves every bit of it. Whacked out Grandpa Joe needs to be stopped. Second hour, we head on Casey Whalen. North Idaho exposed, doing a great job. He went to the Bonner County Courthouse in Idaho. He was detained for not wearing a mask. The problem is they never charged him with anything. They just let him go. And there's a big problem. So we're trying to get a hold of Daryl Wheeler. He's the Bonner County Sheriff there, to say, you know what, you got to stand up for Casey's rights. Can they just literally do that, arrest you, throw you in the cell for a little bit and harass you, rough you up, and then let you go with no crime, no harm, no foul? They claim, is that what we're going to tolerate in America these days? What crime? Oh, trespass, huh? Guilty, can't go into the courts for a year. On what charges, on what grounds, what law was broken? We're trying to dig into that and find out. We'll keep an eye on that case just for you. Casey Whalen, doing a great job. North Idaho Exposed. Look for him on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and everywhere else. The law enforcement powers held by the sheriff, ladies and gentlemen, supersedes those of any agent officer or elected official or employee from any level of government when in the jurisdiction of the county sheriff. We don't think the sheriff's a king. We just think jurisdictionally that matters, ladies and gentlemen. The vertical separation of powers in the Constitution makes it very clear that the power of the sheriff even supersedes the powers of the President of the United States while in his county jurisdiction. If it weren't so, ladies and gentlemen, what do we even need states and or counties for at all? Huh? All right, just wondering. That's a recap of the broadcast that took place on Wednesday. Hope you had a delightful Thanksgiving. Our guest, Chris Carlson, every Friday on your radio. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Hope you and your family had a delightful Thanksgiving, sir.
We did. Thank you, Sam, and thank you for asking and wishing that. Without God, Sam, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson, reporting for duty, sir.
Roger that, sir. A discussion of all things liberty starts now. Any comment on any of the previous things we covered before we tackle the topic of today, sir?
Well, it looks like they're going to use Rittenhouse as a political pawn to advance their agenda and to further divide America, which they always do. So be careful. Watch out for that. Don't fall for the bait. Don't take the bait, as it were. Just maintain your solid constitutional, God-fearing position as a God-fearing American, and we'll be just fine. We don't need to go off on tangents. We don't need to ally ourselves with people. We need to ally ourselves and align ourselves with God, because He is the hope for the future of this nation, not individuals, not presidents, not politicians, not bureaucrats. That's my advice.
Amen to that, ladies and gentlemen. Kyle already falling for the pawn scapegoat scenario, as he basically doubles down and backs Black Lives Matter in his effort to escape the label that Joe Biden's already put on him. Really, at the heart of this is your right to keep and bear arms, ladies and gentlemen, which is codified in the Second Amendment. But really, it's not your right to keep and bear arms that we're defending. That's just kind of the expression of that right. You really have an inalienable, God-given right of self-defense. And that's kind of the critical component here that we need to understand. We cannot let our rights be stripped. Kyle Rittenhouse aside, any of these individualistic cases aside, we need to stand for our God-given rights, and we need to stand for them boldly, nobly, and independently. And most importantly, we need education for people to understand what they really are. If you don't know your rights, you can't keep them, is the general point. All right, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, the cover-up crimes. a vaccine maker, Pfizer, is the discussion. Just another too-big-to-fail American corporation. Gary G. Coles wrote the article. He's a medical doctor, and he wrote it on lewrockwell.com. It was written some months ago, but it's probably even more poignant today than the few months ago when it was written. Chris?
Yeah, because Pfizer just approved, well, the FDA just approved a Pfizer drug for COVID-19 for children ages 5 through 11. And when that announcement was made, I knew that I had to do something to alert my neighbors and friends about this potential catastrophe. When it was just adults, I suppose I should have been just as concerned with adults and teenagers, but anyway. So that's what it's about. Yeah, Pfizer holds the record, Sam, for the largest fine paid for a healthcare fraud lawsuit filed in the U.S. Department of Justice. Pfizer paid $2.3 billion in fines, penalties, and settlements for illegal marketing claims. That's one of the opening statements here in this article.
$2.3 billion in crimes, ladies and gentlemen. Think about that number. But yet the government routinely partners with this criminal organization that literally they were involved in illegal marketing claims. But now the government literally participates, right? On one hand, the U.S. Department of Justice fined them. On the other hand, you've got the FDA and all these other government agencies literally working with these massive drug companies. Let's cover it. LewRockwell.com with the article. Gary G. Coles, medical doctor, the author.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
They call it another company too big to fail. We're talking about the covered-up crimes of vaccine maker Pfizer. The article's in lewrockwell.com. Gary G. Coles, medical doctor, authored the piece. Pfizer is one of the largest multinational pharmaceutical companies on the planet, ladies and gentlemen. They're involved in drug making and vaccine making, and they have special privilege, to say the least. Pfizer has faced literally hundreds of thousands of lawsuits just in the United States for fraudulent marketing and medical injuries caused by their, quote, super profitable drugs. Pfizer holds the record, ladies and gentlemen, for the largest fine paid, I guess the Department of Justice filed a fraud lawsuit because they were involved in fraudulent marketing claims. Literally $2.3 billion. What you've got is a racket going on here, Chris, where on one hand, you got the FDA and these government agencies literally partnering with Pfizer and big drug companies like this, protecting them. Congress involved by giving them a pass, no liability, no accountability whatsoever. The taxpayers foot the bill. And then what you have is, on the other hand, the Justice Department sues them for fraudulent marketing from time to time. And the deal is kind of a quid pro quo where it's like, hey, we'll partner with you, promote you, pass your drugs, give you favors, special privilege. But what we're going to do is we're going to act like we're getting to the truth and saving and protecting American people. On the back of it, we're going to strip you of a chunk of change, but we're going to make sure you get way more than we strip you on the back end for. And it's the typical pattern of government in bed with these organizations, in what I would call a Ponzi scheme. Hey, we'll make you $10 billion. We'll then fight and pretend we're, you know, holding you accountable and getting $2 million back, and we'll do it over and over and over and over. It's a scam, Chris.
It creates the illusion that there is accountability, which there isn't, Sam. I'd be more than happy if I was a multi-billionaire to pay millions of dollars in fines to make sure that my operation keeps running. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Even a dummy like I can figure out that that's a good investment or a return on investment. But yeah, and we've got a whole list. I think there are about 13 different drugs over the years that Pfizer's manufactured, and some of the side effects and some of the illegal activities appertaining to those drugs. I don't know if you want to go through them all. But
yeah, I do. You know, I at least want to name them all. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, so we got Celebrex and Bextra. Celebrex and Bextra generated 7,000 lawsuits, Sam, and a $894 million settlement. So that's real money. You know, $1 million here, $1 million there. Pretty soon you're talking about real money, right? Because apparently there are Celebrex and Bextra drugs, and I'm not even sure what they're used for, caused cardiovascular deaths and injuries. Okay? We're seeing the same. We're seeing history repeat itself, by the way. You know, what's the coronavirus vaccine doing to people? It's causing cardiovascular injuries, right? And deaths. So we've got Lyrica, Gedeon. Some of these names are a little tough to pronounce, so be patient with me. And Zioxx, okay? Apparently, they caused false claims to, Pfizer caused false claims to be submitted to government health care programs for uses that were not medically accepted indications. Okay, you got Neurontin. They did pay out $142 million in settlements for committing racketeering fraud. You got Protonix.
But you got to ask yourself every time when they pay out a big chunk like that, how much did they make on the fraud, on the lies, and when the government partnered with them and approved these drugs, right? You got to ask that question, too. On one hand, government approves these drugs and partners in the scam. Then later, the fines happen. But how much money was made versus how much fines? And you're going to find, I don't have the exact numbers, but you're going to find at least a 10 to 1, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, especially when you've got Medicare and Medicaid paying for these prescription drugs for the people who use them. And we think that's a great program. But what it does is, like we've talked about in the past, Sam, it causes a conflict of interest or moral hazard, as we've labeled it. So you've got the promotion for profits without serious accountability. And, of course, that's a no-brainer. Any business person would want to sell his or her drugs in a market-free environment where they don't have to compete or they don't have to be held to complete accountability, only these operating costs, which I call them, and they don't really care about if people die or get injured by them, because the government, not the free market, is driving their profit-making centers. And unfortunately, the people at the heads of these corporations, the CEOs, tend not to be God-fearing Christians. And that's another aspect of this moral hazard situation that we're talking about. So we can go on.
The sad part, ladies and gentlemen, is it's the swamp against the rest of us. And let me explain. You know what? Ronald Reagan, back in 86, is the group that really put together this scenario where we're going to protect all these pharmaceutical companies from liability. All right, what we're going to do is we're going to say, hey, you know what? It's called the Vaccine Injury Compensation Fund. It's already paid out well over $4 billion when vaccines go wrong since 1986. But it was Ronald Reagan and the Congress that passed that, making sure that, hey, these vaccine companies, they'll never have any liability. The taxpayers are on the hook. It's all secret courts that pay out the money anyway, so the American people don't really get wind of it. Most people don't even know this is happening. But they tell you that vaccines are safe and effective, but yet they create this zero liability by government edict for these companies, special protection. And then when things do go wrong, they have secret courts and secret payout plans where it's, you know, it's law and it's public. It's, if you dig, you can find it. But because the media never covers it, because there's special courts they go to, because the handouts oftentimes have gag orders or other can't talk about it provisions in place, you end up with this scenario. And this is where, really, for the most part, it all started. I mean, it happened before this to some degree, but this is when the wheels really came off and the scam really kind of perfected itself, starting with Ronald Reagan. And then, of course, all presidents, both sides of the aisle and the swamp, have carried it forward. Even Donald Trump now with his fast tracking of the, quote, Operation Warp Speed, took this to new heights we've never seen before. Chris?
Yeah, but other than that, Ronald Reagan was a great conservative president, other than the fact that he did help to create the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, which, by the way, I have a family member who could have taken advantage of that, but they could not prove, and this is my grandnephew, so my brother's daughter had a grandnephew who took a routine MMR vaccine, and he died 2 weeks later. It was obviously the result of the vaccine, but because the burden of proof to collect any type of compensation from the government for the drug companies killing your child is so high, they couldn't prove it. They couldn't collect a dime. And most people are in that situation. The burden of proof has to be absolutely undeniable. But there shouldn't be. I mean, we should be able to sue the drug companies directly. Why do taxpayers have to foot the bill for injuries that are created by the drug companies? That doesn't make any sense, Sam.
Well, and in every other industry, the burden of proof is on the business. If I make a claim and say, hey, you know what, this harmed me, then we got to demonstrate that, hey, if there's a death, what caused the death is the question. And usually coroners and other people figure that out. In this case, though, what they do is they simply say, look, unless you can definitively prove that the vaccine caused it, we're going to assume that there was no harm, no foul here. Whereas the opposite is true in every other scenario, right?
Yes.
If you swallow a toy and you die, then they say, well, wait a minute. You know, the fact that you swallowed the toy killed the kid. And they don't say, well, you can't prove that's what caused the death. What caused the death? Well, he couldn't breathe. Okay, well, so he couldn't breathe is the cause of death. It's not the toy. In other words, we play games here. And we go around in circles. And in most cases, it's cause and effect. It's pretty obvious in reality. The kid was healthy before the vaccine. Now the kid's dead. Hey, there's got to be something to do with this thing. But they don't link this. They've changed the way the law works to where you have to have positive evidential proof, which 9 times out of 10 you'll never get. Most people don't even go to a vaccine injury compensation fund or law because they don't even know that it exists. They're just like, oh, my kid died. Yeah. The doctors and everybody else makes up an excuse. Oftentimes, 9 times out of 10 never reports it. And we've created this whole, I'm not sure what, ecosystem of lies that prevent us from ever really getting to the truth of the matter. We're going to talk more about this, ladies and gentlemen, because this is critical. And I want to talk more about Operation Warp Speed and Donald Trump's involvement in this. Because I'm telling you, in 1986, under one conservative President Reagan, the wheels came off. This got crazy. But now we've taken it to new heights under another conservative president, Donald Trump. Liberty Roundtable Live in seconds with Chris Carlson on your radio.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
I thought that was going to be different, Mr. Speaker, because I took President Biden at his word. I took him at his word when he said he was going to get COVID under control. Mr. Speaker, unfortunately, more Americans have died this year than last year.
Republican Representative Kevin McCarthy on the House floor last week shaming the president for failing on his campaign promise. And if reports out of Africa can be trusted, a new variant of COVID-19 has been detected. Nature magazine reported the new variant is out of Botswana. The World Health Organization is holding an emergency meeting today to discuss the rise of COVID-19 cases in South Africa that have been blamed on the new variant of the virus. South Africa's Minister of Health identified the new variant as B11529 and said it seems highly contagious among young people. The British government is taking no chances and announced it has started banning flights from South Africa and five other southern African countries on Friday. USA Radio News.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. Not only is it time for open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For the typical family, switching to MediShare saves about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people. Think what you could do with that. But if you join right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. So that's another $170 you'll save. And MediShare is really different. It's a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. More than 400,000 people are members, and they've shared over $4 billion in medical bills. So, yes, they can handle your bills, too. This may be the time to make the switch. Join before November 30th for the additional savings. It's so easy to find out more. They're great to talk to. In fact, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Here's the number. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Here comes winter.
Forecasters say a quick-hitting storm known as an Alberta Clipper is forecast to bring frigid air and the first snow of the season for some across a wide portion of the country. Due to a dip in the jet stream, cold air will rush across portions of the Midwest and the Great Lakes on Friday and set the stage for stormy weather to come. People in the Dakotas, Ohio, and Michigan that are heading out for Black Friday will need to bundle up as low temperatures are forecast to dip into the teens and 20s by Friday night. Stormy weather will reach across the northern U.S. Snow is forecast from Minnesota to Illinois during the day on Saturday. Snowy and slick conditions that do develop on the roads may lead to travel issues or significant delays as the travelers continue to increase throughout the holiday weekend. Snow will continue across much of the Great Lakes region on Sunday, with a steady snowfall expected across northern Michigan as well as the Upper Peninsula. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
USA Radio News.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're lending quite a statement regarding Pfizer. Really a criminal enterprise in bed with your government, the FDA. On one hand, putting all kinds of drugs and vaccines on the market, literally protecting themselves via all kinds of law, legislation, all kinds of provisions and guidelines and regulations, and hiding behind all that so there's no accountability or liability. And it's a fraud. It's a scam. I learned about these kind of scams in the Microsoft days when I got into computing years and years and years ago, where Microsoft would partner with a company that say, we love you. We want to work with you. Your technology is incredible. What they'd do is they'd partner with the company. They would promote their technology for a little while. Then they would build off the backs of and the secrets of the company they partnered with, a little smaller company usually. And then what they would do is they would basically steal the technology, have their own version, protect themselves from liability, jettison the tiny company that they got the ideas and the technical know-how from. And then what they'd do is they'd make millions, millions and millions of dollars. And then the little company would eventually get mad and eventually go away, and they'd part ways. And then eventually the little company would sue, and then the little company would win a lawsuit. And everybody felt like, wow, that little company was vindicated. They were right. They sued and won. But it's pennies on the dollar, ladies and gentlemen. Microsoft would get literally billions and pay back millions kind of stuff. Sham, scam. Well, the same thing's happening here with Pfizer in bed with Big Pharma. I'm sorry, Pfizer, Big Pharma in bed with government, the FDA. et cetera. But Pfizer, remember, we're talking about Pfizer and picking on Pfizer because they're one of the biggest ones, the largest ones. But there's really five of these large, large companies, right, Chris?
Yeah. Do you have that list? Let's see.
Yeah.
Pfizer.
Pfizer's one of the five largest vaccine manufacturers, ladies and gentlemen. The five are Pfizer. I think you say it's Sanofi, Merck, GlaxoSmithKline, and Johnson & Johnson. Now, AstraZeneca is actually number 10. So there's more than just five, but those are the five largest ones. These people all have the same special treatment, ladies and gentlemen. And again, like I say, back in 1986, there was really a sea change where they created this legislation that created the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Fund. We've already paid out $4 billion. What you have is a secrecy rather than transparency. And what you have is a government protection of these vaccine companies so they can escape liability. Now, that was one, in my opinion, sea change back in the 1980s. But the next sea change, in my mind, happened under the Trump administration. We're talking about Operation Warp Speed. Listen, what they're calling it is accelerated COVID-19 vaccines. They literally jettisoned all common sense. They jettisoned all safety precautions, all in the name of, quote, emergency authorization. And Donald Trump claims that it saves lives, that they're saving lives big time. See, I don't see it that way, and I don't think they have evidence to that. We're starting to see more and more and more problems with the vaccines. Chris?
Yeah, and I want to focus particularly on the one for COVID-19 for children that was recently approved. And I put together an expose, and I distributed it to neighbors. And there's a lot of foreboding in the minds of honest-minded scientists and doctors who have done their research with the previous adult and teenage COVID-19 vaccines produced by Pfizer and Moderna and BioNTech. And so what I did, Sam, and I don't know if you want to do this transition right now, I basically said I've got to alert my neighbors and my friends of this childhood vaccine, which I think will result in the injury and death of millions of Americans' children. So I put together an expose, and just like I did in February, we talked about this concerning the fake pandemic, Sam. I distributed this to every house in my ward or in my church congregation, which is basically my immediate neighborhood here. And what I did is I cited doctors and scientists like Dr. Mercola, like Steve Kirsch. I don't know if he's a scientist per se. I also cited a Dr. Brian Dressen, a Dr. Brian Brittle, who are all warning us about the potential hazardous effects of this upcoming Pfizer COVID-19 children's vaccine. And in it, I included, for example, statements that Steve Kirsch. So Steve Kirsch is the executive director of the COVID-19 Early Treatment Fund. And he was actually invited to the FDA's Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee, VRBPAC. And that is the committee, Sam, in the FDA that approves or disapproves or approves for emergency use authorization or disapproves the vaccines that we are now using to presumably fight COVID-19. And he compiled a list of 11 questions that he asked the panel that I thought my neighbors and friends and family members should know. He starts off by asking, Sam, why are kids dropping like flies after getting vaccinated? If they didn't die from the vaccine, what killed them? That's the first question of 11. He goes on, Sam, how can a healthy 16-year-old die in the middle of his Zoom class meeting? And then he showed, these are PowerPoint slide presentations that he's showing the panel. You know, he goes on to say he was fine 20 minutes before his doctors found nothing. Number three, why did this 15-year-old die in his sleep just 2 days after being vaccinated? And then number four, he says, how did you miss all of these safety signals? And here's the list of safety signals. Apparently, during the trials, they found out that 540 of their trial subjects had pulmonary embolisms. 360 of their trial subjects suffered from thrombosis, 118 myocarditis, 80 stroke, 72 deep vein thrombosis. I could go on. I don't want to bore you with too many details, but he goes on with 11 questions, and the panel presumably listened inquisitively, but still that panel of 17 members approved the COVID-19 childhood vaccine for ages 5 to 11 unanimously, Sam. And now our children between the ages of 5 and 11 are being injected with this experimental gene therapy. It's not even approved. And I point this out three times in this letter that I wrote. It's not approved. It is. It's given emergency youth authorization, just like the other vaccines that we're taking for adults.
And ladies and gentlemen, they made a big to-do several months ago about one of the vaccines was approved. It's no longer experimental. The problem that I have with that is everybody's still been given the experimental version. They claim they don't have any available of the, quote, approved one. But now even the younger generations are getting the experimental. And my question would be, why? Was it really approved, or have we been lied to with a bait-and-switch scenario? Have we been, okay, why would we have to have emergency approval when we already have an approved one? And especially when it comes to our children. So see, they're dodging the bullet on multiple scenarios here. Now, here's the problem that I have. Donald Trump, ladies and gentlemen, developed this Operation Warp Speed, which simply, you know, we've already protected these vaccine companies from liability back in 1986, but now we're giving them a special privilege under emergency authorization. There's literally nothing you can do. You can't even take advantage of the injury compensation fund when it's an experimental vaccination like this. Now, listen carefully. Donald Trump went on record saying this. 100 million people might have died without Operation Warp Speed. Okay, now he has no evidence of that whatsoever, but he made that claim suggesting it would be like the Spanish flu of 1918, and literally 100 million people might have died. Thank heavens for Operation Warp Speed. This is just double speak for the protection that Donald Trump virtually single-handedly gave them. Now you say, wait a minute, what do you mean single-handedly? Well, ladies and gentlemen, without his leadership, they could have never, ever got this to go through so quickly. Donald Trump literally, he threw the Hail Mary on this thing under emergency claims. And ladies and gentlemen, we don't have even close to emergency claims. In fact, more people have died from the COVID and from the vaccines than before the vaccine came out. So flat out lies, dishonesty. And that's the claim, though. And the mainstream press just echoed the claim. A couple of people said, oh, maybe not that many. But for the most part, they just doubled down, and the media echoed the claim as they doubled down and supported Operation Warp Speed, Chris.
Yeah, and I make very clear that this is not a vaccine in the traditional sense. In fact, Merriam-Webster's dictionary had to change the definition of a vaccine. I think it was in just a few months ago. I think it was September, Sam. They literally changed the definition of the vaccine, I presume, so as not to run amok with lawsuits. I don't know, but it was unbeknownst to the vast majority of the American people that they had changed that definition, because what we're being given are not vaccines, and that is clear. But most people don't even know that. They're unaware of what's being done right before their eyes, Sam.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. I am Sam Bushman, Chris Carlson with me on your radio.
Recent studies show that parents who smoke in the home are more likely to have children who smoke.
Yes. In fact, my brother, he's 22 now. He told me and my father that's why he started smoking. One of the reasons why he started smoking is because my dad was around, you know, and they saw my dad smoking. My dad said, okay, I don't want you to smoke. I don't want you to, you know, watch what I'm doing.
Recent studies also show that in homes where parents don't smoke, their children usually don't smoke either.
I am the way I am because my grandparents taught me what not to do. They gave me morals. They gave me belief. They gave me something to believe in. They just taught me well. I love them. I do.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I have a question. Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass.
I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
Chris Carlson and Sam Bushman on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, breaking down the covered up crimes of vaccine maker Pfizer, along with really five huge pharmaceutical companies. In bed with your government on one hand and getting slapped on the back end by government, creating a Ponzi scheme like you've never seen before. They call it just another too-big-to-fail corporation, ladies and gentlemen. LouRockwell.com is the location of the article. Gary G. Coles, M.D., is the author. Really, Pfizer is one of the largest multinational pharmaceutical drug companies on the planet, ladies and gentlemen. And they have really experienced unprecedented special treatment and protection before the law. And that's why we're going after them so hardcore. Believe it or not, Pfizer holds the record for the largest fine paid for a health care fraud lawsuit filed by the U.S. Department of Justice. So the FDA approves their drugs, then later big old fraudulent claims. But they paid $2.3 billion in fines, penalties, and settlements relating to marketing claims. So they're going to get them on marketing claims, not the safeness or the effectiveness of the drugs. You see how that works? Partner with them, make big, big money, and then on the back end, slap them with a, well, you didn't market this thing properly. That's your only foul here. The rest is fine. That's the big circle lie. Pfizer is one of the five largest vaccine manufacturers as well, ladies and gentlemen. And Operation Warp Speed is when we really took this to new heights, new levels. Accelerated COVID-19 vaccines skipped all the checks and balances that we really have in place, which are far fewer than we ever had in place before 1986 when Ronald Reagan, another conservative president, slam dunked and created the Vaccine Injury Compensation Fund and laws that protect and shield vaccine and big pharma companies from liability, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Donald Trump said 100 million people might have died without Operation Warp Speed. He's up in the night crazy, claims that without evidence. Nevertheless, it gets worse. And you say, well, why are you guys hitting so hard on this? Well, I'll tell you why. Because this is not about to end. Okay, if it was Warp Speed for a vaccine and we really solved the problem of the illness, that might be one discussion. But all we've done now is created a greater likelihood of injury and death from the vaccines. More people have died now since the vaccines have come out than before. It's serious business, ladies and gentlemen, because now you've got vaccine deaths and you've got basically, in my opinion, two experimental realities. One, the experiment when they released the COVID in the first place, and then now the vaccines. Really, two bioweapons. What do you want? Do you want the virus or the vaccines or both, right? I mean, it's insanity. But here's the deal. If it was really over, if we had really nipped it in the bud and stopped it, it would be one thing. But all we've done is created this scenario where now they say, look, you're never going to get rid of corona. It's going to be like the flu. You're going to have to be, quote, fully vaccinated. That's an interesting term. You're going to have to go ahead and take the vaccine over and over and over. It's only good for about 4 to 6 months. So 2-3 times a year, get your flu, get your COVID, get your whatever shots, ladies and gentlemen. And now they continue because the virus morphs and changes and mutates or whatever you want to call it. So here's the latest headline from the Epoch Times that says this: new CCP virus variant detected in South Africa sparks travel bans by Israel and the UK. So see, they're just getting started. This will never go away. It'll be a cash cow for these companies that have incredible protection and liability and partner with the government to literally fleece the people of money and create all kinds of injury and harm. And what the effects of this experimental vaccine will do, we don't even know to this point. But don't worry, Donald claimed in the news that it'll save us. Well over 100 million people might have died if we didn't have Operation Warp Speed. These are the lies that they'll go to the extent to tell to cover up their tracks on this one. Chris?
Here's the thing, Sam. Once he puts his hat in the ring to run for the 2024 presidential election, everybody's going to gloss over that. They're going to say, well, yeah, nobody's perfect. That's one of the most insidious statements I hear from people's mouths that support conservatism. Nobody's perfect. Well, that's a deal breaker for me, Sam. That is a huge gap in his credibility and his integrity. So, yeah. But here's the thing. Most of the deaths, I believe, and I've got a statistic here that I'm going to read from Public Health Scotland. They say the latest official public health data, and this is a government agency, by the way. This is not just some watchdog group. The latest official public health data shows that the fully vaccinated accounted for 83% of COVID-19 deaths. Fully vaccinated accounting for 83% of COVID-19 deaths in the past 4 weeks, whilst also accounting for 72% of COVID-19 hospitalizations. That's from Scotland. And I can cite statistic after statistic after statistic that proves that the vaccines are causing more injuries and deaths than the virus itself. And we've known that for a while now. Yet the media is so powerful and people are so addicted to the mainstream media, even Fox News is reporting that the surges are the result of the virus rather than the vaccine. When we should know, if you just scratch a little bit below the surface, Sam, you can do the research. If I can do it, if you can do it, anybody can do it.
Well, and there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. And we see deaths continuing, right? But here's the deal. I don't know if you know, but there's, according to the United States statistics right now, there's 48,091,000 people that have been tested positive for the coronavirus. What's that? About 1/6 of America, right? 1/7. Nope. It all depends on how you count the numbers. Okay. Yeah, yeah. But understand that only 775,000 have died. Well, we were at 700,000 a long time ago. Only 75,000 since then? Well, here's the deal. All the deaths that are caused by the vaccine or otherwise, they're now claiming they're not COVID deaths. So at first, every death was a COVID death. Now, most deaths, even if they are a COVID vaccine death, aren't being counted, Chris.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we got to challenge these numbers big time.
They don't count you. If you take the vaccine and you die within 14 days, you died of the virus. You didn't die of the vaccine because they don't consider the vaccine fully effective until after 14 days of having taken it. And if you let it lapse, you know, they want you to take a booster after every 6 months. If you let your original two vaccines lapse and it's past that 6 month period and you die as a result of the vaccines that you took a little over 6 months ago, that's not a vaccine death. That is a virus death, according to the CDC.
Now, listen to this, these statistics just to kind of make the point. I challenge their numbers big time. Utah has 589,000 people that have tested positive for the coronavirus since the beginning. And they have 3,470 deaths, okay? Maryland has 580,000, so 9,000 less, right, tested positive. But they have 11,000 deaths, well over triple. You got to ask why. Arkansas has 525,000, so literally over 60,000 less, but they have 8,000 deaths, literally almost four, at least 2.5 times. How come? Iowa, 518,000, so literally 65,000 less, but they have 7,000 deaths. Mississippi, 512,000, so way less than Utah, 512 to 589,000. But they have 10,000 deaths, over triple. Why? It's insane. When you dig into it, you go, what? Now look at Nevada, 454,000, so 100,000 plus, 120,000 less, but 7,900, well over double the deaths. I mean, it just goes on and on. Yeah, you got Connecticut, 416,000, so almost 150,000 less than Utah, and 8,000 deaths, well over double. I mean, it's just insane when you look at the numbers, and no one's asking why. No one's asking what the difference is. No one's really digging into this, but they ought to be. Because you could find a solution in those numbers, if the numbers are even real in the first place, which I don't accept, but I'm just saying. So we've got all kinds of problems with this, and the sad part is that more and more evidence is being clearly identified showing the vaccines aren't safe and effective, and we really got here based on a big lie and a big money racket, a big scam where the government partnered with these companies. And you got to ask at the end of the day, why? What do they accomplish from it? And I think you're going to see sickness in America like you've never seen, and around the world like you've never seen before, as really a cause and effect of these vaccine experiments that they'll never admit to, Chris.
And one of the glaring omissions, and this goes back to the very beginning, Sam, when this quote-unquote pandemic started, they never talked about the immune system. They didn't talk about administering zinc, vitamin C, vitamin D3, getting exercise, getting fresh air, getting sunshine. All these things they continue to omit from the potential cure for this. And I believe it's a pandemic. You know, I was never one of those people that said, well, you know, it's all fake, it's all driven by the media. Because I got it, you got it, my wife got it, many family members got it. But our approach to solving the problem was, to me, the opposite of what we should have done. And we're continuing to do that. We're driving this. And here's the irony about it, and I'll read word for word what I wrote in this expose that I gave to all of my neighbors. It's about the abortion issue. Oh, here it is. Okay, sorry, I'm taking a little longer than I thought. I find it strangely ironic that the same FDA that disapproved the swine flu vaccine in 1976 because it killed 26 people is ignoring the estimated 300,000 people who have now died as a result of the COVID-19 experimental mRNA gene therapy. I also find it ironic that the same two political parties who have been unified in the protection of the abortion industry's murder of over 62 million innocent babies in their mothers' wombs over the last 47 years are now unified in their concern about the health and welfare of 5 to 11-year-old children who just a few years previously could have been legally murdered in their mothers' wombs without the least concern by a politician or bureaucrat. Something doesn't add up here, Sam.
There's no question about it, ladies and gentlemen. There's an agenda afoot. I don't think we'll even understand the complete gravity of the situation and or the huge scope of the problem we've created in our experimentations, all in the name of emergency, all in the name of, why don't we turn to God Almighty? Why are we turning to big pharma companies? Why don't we turn to God as a nation and repent? Why don't we turn to God as a nation and stand for pro-life in a real sense? Why don't we work on promoting God, family, and country? Why don't we work on turning together as a society and having trust and faith and service and love and kindness? Love the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor as thyself is the commandment we've been given. That doesn't mean shun your neighbor because they have the COVID. That doesn't mean, okay, we can conquer these things, but we're going about it all wrong is the point. And I fear not because of the COVID. I fear because of what we've done in the name of COVID and the repercussions from all aspects, economy, health, societal norms. I mean, it goes right on down the list. I fear for what we've done in the name of COVID, ladies and gentlemen. We thought would expose this reality for you to consider. Study hard, gain knowledge. Knowledge shall set us free. The truth shall set us free. Final words yours, Chris.
Sam, without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson and liberty-loving Americans everywhere, continuing our duty, sir.
And for Chris and Sam, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.